started in a backyard, and I think I mentioned this maybe once before, but I like mentioning that. I came from the same backyard fed that had Mike Mondo, which is, you know, Mikey from Spirit Squad, Tony Nese, who's obviously on 205 Live.
Yep.
And, you know, a couple other indie guys, Jim Sullivan, me, the owner of FTW Wrestling, Sean Stern, my brother, the rock star, like we were all in this backyard fed. And so what happened was we were doing it, and these like local, like older wrestlers came, like, I mean, like old, you know, like dudes in their like 40s at the time.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, the guy's kid made him go there. And one of the dudes is a real scammer, and I think he just saw a bunch of young marks and he was going to scam us out of money. But the other dude was actually a guy, you know, he was this guy that never made it, but like locally in the indies back then, he was a dude who was always on the shows. And, you know, he took us over to the LIWF, which was the doghouse. And he took a few of us. At the time, it was only, like, Tony Nese was too young. He was, like, 13. I mean, he was, like, 15, I don't know. But he was tiny. It was, like, me and two other dudes went, and we started being wrestlers, you know? And so we trained, you know, like that old dude, Don Rock, is the guy, was his name. He trained us originally. And then, you know, while we were at the doghouse, we would train like with Lathan, who was like the head trainer there. And then Lathan was called what do you call himself? The Tower of Torture. he had like 50 gimmicks, this guy. He was just out. Like, things were different then, man. Like, this dude was like, imagine like this guy was running this whole school, and like he had like five different gimmicks, and like they had these student shows like twice, like for every Friday and Saturday night were like shows, like these student shows. And it was like its own world in there, man. Like, they didn't give a shit about the athletic commission. Like, nobody cared. It was so, it was like in a ghetto, you know, it was like in Queens over by like Cypress Hill Cemetery, and like back then it was like a lot rougher. It was like the first place I ever saw somebody smoke crack.
Wow.
You know, so I trained there, you know, and then from there I went on and I trained with Mike Whipwreck a little bit. And he was a good trainer, but he was a real dick.
How so?
No, he really was. He was really mean to me, dude. I don't know why he did not like me. But I had a good group of, you know, talented people that were in my training group. Was like Quiet Storm, Chris Devine, the SATs, Red.
Wow.
Like, we all trained. Yeah, we all trained together. And all three Maximals, too, which I don't like any of those guys either. But I'm saying they were good in the ring. Can't deny that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, so we all trained together. And then after that, after Whipwreck, I stopped wrestling pretty much for a while because it kind of made me hate wrestling because such a dick, and those SAT guys were such dicks that I was like, whatever, I wrestled a little bit, and then I kind of stopped for a few years. And then when my buddy Sean wanted to start FTW, I was like, maybe I'll start wrestling again. So then,
yeah,
when I started wrestling again, like right when FTW started, I met Sabu. So then I trained with Sabu for a little bit and kind of got back in the swing of things. And then,
how was Sabu different from Whipwreck?
Fucking totally different, dude. Sabu, like, what people don't realize, he's, I mean, maybe not much now, but he was the most, like, old school and, like, cerebral fucking, which I think is ironic, because I think on a big level he wasn't, but,
yeah.
But in the, you know, like, in the time that I knew him, he was very smart about the business, like, you know what I mean? Like, very, like, knew how to handle everything, like, from, like, you know, he really taught me about how to get bookings and, like, how to negotiate and, like, what not to do as far as, like, you know, like, don't fucking lower your price to a guy because then they'll make you work that price forever. Like, just old school.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's very old school, but, like, he was just business savvy with that shit. And I guess at that time I had no idea about, like, how to really, I think a lot of indie guys still don't, you know, like, he taught me a shitload of that. And then, like, also just answered a lot of, like, on the job, in the moment, questions of, like, you know, like, things that come along while you're doing this and you're trying to get better and you're trying to get out there and, like, be like, I don't know, should I be doing this or, you know what I mean? Or, like,
yeah.
Do you, you know, like, if you're injured like this, what would you do? And, like shit like that. He had good answers, you know. He's always, like, without obvious, you know what I mean? Like, if you don't have medical insurance, or you have this, that. Like, he always had good, obvious, you know, easy answers to get around shit. So he was very savvy like that. So that's the most of what I learned from him was, the cerebral part of the business.
It's crazy too, because he's the perfect guy to ask a question like that. Like, oh, what happens if, you know, you rip your arm open in a barbed wire match? What do you do? And he'll be able to tell you because he's done it, you know? So yeah, that's
exactly pretty cool. like shit like that, or just like, you know what I mean? Or like, what should you get for that? Or I mean, that's hard to think of an exact example, but he was
absolutely
like that.
He's
know?
Seen and done it. So
yeah. from the business side, believe it or not, from him.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, like, you know, he's another guy that drilled into my head. You know, you got to get bigger. You got to look better. Like, doesn't matter if you're a good wrestler. Like, he always drilled in that Vince McMahon quote. He said it was Vince McMahon, which I've heard other people say. He always said, you know, if the fans on the other side of the guardrail think they can kick your ass, then why would they pay to see you?
Absolutely. So let's discuss that a little bit, because you're unique in the fact that, you know, you're a part of the Screen Actors Guild and you've got this great look, you know. So how did that all play a role in you creating this character?
It didn't at all. So Earl Cooter was a character that I didn't create. That was when I came back to wrestling, and I mean, I wasn't really up to par for the level. Like, so I went to Jersey All Pro. I did a tryout, and I was shitty. You know, I was just coming back. I was so skinny. I was like 160, and like medium hair, like good looking face, obviously, but like didn't like I was wearing like a purple mask, and like I was like fucking around because I knew I wasn't where I wanted to be, like in the ring yet. Because I had just like been back training for a few months, and even though I had already learned all this shit, I mean, when you're away for like 5 years. I wasn't a guy who worked every weekend or, you know what I mean? Like back before that. So I wasn't that good yet. So I had a lot of wasted years. So while I was doing that, I did a tryout for JP, and like they sent me out there and like the Heavy Hitters, which is like a ripoff version of the Hit Squad, and some other dude, like they put me in this like running thing, and like these dudes fucking like beat the shit out of me. And I'm standing there in the back, and I actually like a Sabu kind of moment. I fucking popped my eardrum.
Wow.
And I was like freaking out. I had no insurance at the time. Like my eardrums popped. And I happened to like just my regular clothes that I wore there. I had like a trucker hat. I always wore like a trucker hat. And you know, I think I had like a tank top on underneath. So I was like getting dressed. I'm standing there in my trucker hat and a tank top. And I my eardrum's fucking killing me. And I'm like ready to throw up because I feel like so dizzy, like scared.
Wow.
And so I had... going out that night, I stashed a bottle, like a half pint of like Jim Beam in my fucking bag, and I just said fuck it, and I started drinking it. Like, well, I wasn't trying to make it obvious, but I was like over by my standing there, and I was like swigging it, because I was just like fucking, I was freaking out. So I did it, and then the owner, Pierre, who was like a partner, whatever he was, saw me doing that, and I thought he was going to yell at me. He started laughing, and he was like, you know, he's like, you look like the biggest fucking redneck. And then like he walked away, and like I didn't really, you know, give a shit. Like 2 minutes later, that dude Kevin Matthews or whatever fucking tears his bicep in the ring, and they're like, "Fuck, it ruins our whole match for tomorrow for that big anniversary show."
Wow!
So he comes over to me and he's like, "Yo, you look like a redneck." He's like, "I got an idea." I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yo," he's like, "Why don't you come up with a name?" So we sat right there, and he was like, "What's that fucking?" He's like, "What's that crazy?" He's like, "What's that crazy name from the Dukes of Hazzard?" I was like, "He's like, the tow truck guy." I was like, "Cooter," and he's like, "Yo, it's perfect." He's like, "You're fucking crazy, Cooter." And he's like, "So we were laughing," and he's like, "Talk like a redneck, like do this, do that." So I was doing it, and then he was like, "What's that other show? That fucking My Name Is Earl." He's like, "You're fucking Earl Cooter. He's like, got your name, dude, Earl fucking Cooter." And I was like, "All right, man." And that was it. And then right then and there. And then they had me fucking walking around the locker room, testing it out the next day. And I said no at first. The funniest thing was, he was like, "All right, are you busy tomorrow?" And I was like, I might be like, because here I am all pissed off because the eardrum's fucking completely blown. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know if you ever felt this feeling. Oh, it's horrible. Man. So I'm like, fuck, man. Like, there's blood coming out of my ear. And I'm like, fuck, man, I really fucked up my ear. You know, like, I don't know about a doctor. So I was like, shit. And, so that was there. I ended up, it was Grim Reaper who was like, "Yo, what are you, an idiot?" He's like, "Yes, you're available tomorrow." And then so the debut of Earl Cooter was the JP anniversary show. It was like 1,000+ people there, and I did like a promo and a squash thing with like the Human Tornado, who at the time was fucking huge.
Wow. That's
so
crazy.
That was so that's how that gimmick came about. And it wasn't until, I mean, I think to pertain to your question,
mm-hmm.
I always, when Earl Cooter, dude, I went out of my way to look like shit and look ugly. Like, I would not fucking brush my teeth for like 2 days.
Wow.
I would fucking, like, I totally caved it though. Never tan. I always had like dirty, shitty looking gear. I always, like, some people got it. Some people just thought that was really me, which was like even worse. It's like, you know, I can't tell you how many people were like, yo, like, this guy's just a scum. And I was like, it's not really me, dude. Like, I'm just kayfabing it. Like,
yeah.
I just went all out and played the character, you know? Like, I would fucking paint that weird mustache on my face. People thought it was real.
Oh, my God. Like,
so it wasn't until a few years ago that I just really looked around. Like, once I put on a little size, and I just really looked around, and like, I got into, you know, I started getting into acting stuff and all that, and like, I was like, you know, I mean, not to be a cocky fuck, but I was like, I got a pretty good looking face, man. Like, I'm going to stop doing this shit.
Yep.
I was like, I'm just going to go out there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like the truth be told, dude, like, I was like, yo, like, you know, I had a fucking hot girlfriend. I was always, like, going up getting girls. I'm like, dude, these wrestlers, most of these indie dudes can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I know, like, the truth is, like, obviously I'm fucking good looking. So I was like, I'm just going to showcase that instead.
Absolutely.
So I started switching into that. And that's kind of where it brings me full circle to where I've run into, like, why I want to change the name and, like, why I want to change the look a little bit, because I feel like everybody associates, like, you Google Earl Cooter and you see some of these older pictures, it's like an ugly fucking guy, and it's like, it's good for the gimmick,
yeah.
But, like, you know, I've been told by major companies that they don't like the fucking gimmick, so I was like, okay, then I gotta change it.
Absolutely. So, let me ask you a question. Now, considering the fact that you're making this transition from Earl Cooter to Brian Idol, what are your goals for the next year or so in wrestling?
It would be to... Well, I mean, I have two goals. You know, I wanna further the brand of FTW wrestling. You know, like, we got four schools. we're running shows in... Like, this last year, we ran a show in Canada. We always do Long Island and New York City.
Mm-hmm.
We're both watching Florida in January. So, I want to further that. I mean, I got some things I'm working on, maybe, like, out in L.A. and a couple other places. And I mean, not just one show, either. Like, I might do a school out in L.A.
Wow.
I might do a second school in Florida. I think that's going to happen for sure. So, I mean, I want to further the brand. As far as that, and you know, for myself, I mean, I'd like to sign a major deal somewhere. You know,
absolutely.
I think, you know, whether it's overseas or local, I don't know. I mean, I have a couple options. I mean, not many, but I got a couple, and I'd like to see that happen. That would be a good goal for the next year.
Okay.
But I think, like I said, I think I'm also very, you know, like. I think the difference between me and a lot of other, you know, wrestlers is they don't have, you know, the schools and their own company. And so I'm very big on that too. Like, I don't mind, like to me, if that's, you know, what I had to focus on, I'm very good with that. I like the fact that I've created a lot of good talent on the indies and that we have this company and we have these things, you know?
Okay. Awesome. That sounds cool. Another question I've wanted to ask you, it's kind of like how I came in contact with your whole brand and who you are. I mean, the whole Dennis Long thing. How did that all come about? How did you see that? And then how did you feel when that all went down?
All right. Well, I mean, long story short, I mean, I don't know if there's no such thing as a long story short with this guy, but this guy is a fucking psychopath. And I don't think people really realize, like, how bizarre and crazy. Like, he has like that, like, he's like the guy from fucking American Horror Story Cult. Like, yo, this dude made a community of fake Facebook profiles. Like, we're talking probably upwards of 15 to 20 profiles, and created that group, We Love Pro Wrestling. And his whole thing was, he was like marketing, like, oh, you know, check out this clip, like, oh, all shit like fans would want to see. And then the whole underlying goal was to promote his own company You know what I mean? Like, he had a plan to take over House of Glory, and that backfired because they caught on to it because he started trying to, like, partner with him and then take it over. And, I mean, I don't know all the specifics on that part, but he definitely did a bunch of dick moves. Mm-hmm. And then when he decided it was Tier 1 he was going to go with, and he, like, switched the whole page, like, to gear only, like, to shit on every other local thing and make his thing look the best. And what he used to do with these fake profiles is, like, when I was starting with Evolve, he would email Gabe Sapolsky under a fake profile, like multiple fake profiles, and say how he's this longtime fan. He would present knowledge. Like I've seen the emails. Like, he would, like, be like, oh, you know, I'm a longtime fan. I'm not going to watch anymore because you fucking, you have this shitty Earl Cooter guy, and he's a loser, and, like,
wow,
it's a joke that you're bringing him to China, and your company sucks, and, like, I didn't think you did favors for people like that. I thought this company was about talent. Like, shit like that. And he had another actual pro wrestler do it, too, that he was paying money to be a personal trainer, which is funny because the guy's a fat, like, they're both fat slobs. And like, the guy's a personal trainer. This guy, Buffy from the Christopher Street Connection.
Mm-hmm.
So he had this guy posting under fake profiles. That guy was posting under a profile named Lisa Brooklyn Priest. And this is the guy from Christopher Street Connection, a wrestler, emailing fucking Gabe, telling him, don't fucking book me, and that they're boycotting Evolve, and Evolve sucks, and fuck the China tour, and all these things, because I'm on it, because Dennis Long. And I don't, like, if you said, what is the specific reason, I think it was twofold. I think this dude, Dennis Long, used to be a huge fan of mine. Like, he's got a bizarre way of going about things, because I just told you, he ended up partnering with House of Glory for a minute, but before that, he was, like, shitting all over Brian Exo, who is the owner of House of Glory. And he would shit on Brian Exo, and he would praise me in the same like, sentence. Like, he would be like, Brian Exo is a loser who runs a company in New York and has a body like a gummy bear, and Earl Cooter is an example of a guy with a good body and a great look who's going places. He was live on Dragon Gate's USA's pay-per-view. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then all of a sudden, like, one day he just flip-flopped it, and I think one was because, well, he had that opportunity with House of Glory, and, like, the only way this guy knew is to, like, shit on something else. And I think also was one time he used to hang around the Evolve shows and stuff, and he used to, like, you know, pay money. He used to, like, throw money at the owners and for, like, dumb shit, and, you know, for, like, DVDs and stuff, like, extra money, like, ridiculous amounts, like, just an idiot. Wow. And, And I think one time at a show, like, during the cleanup or something, I thought he was somebody else. And, like, I was like, hey, man, I thought you were here to help do this. And, like, and I kind of busted his balls about, like, cleaning something or moving something. Mm-hmm. And it was a different guy who looked just like him, another fat guy with glasses. I couldn't fucking tell him apart, honestly. So, no, for real, they looked the same, the two guys. And you know, I mean, that was the truth. And I was like, and when he said who he was, I was like, oh, sorry, man, I thought you were in the other room, my bad. Then I was like, oh, you don't worry about it, you're fine. And then I think from that day on, he hated me.
Wow.
And I think it, like, insulted him, because I think he was a fan of mine, and I think it just pissed him off, which, whatever. But, dude, like I said, for that guy to do all that shit and then deny it to my face and then get caught doing it and then just, like, all there's so much more underhanded shit this guy tried to do to me. And, like, and screw up business relationships and all these things, you know. And just his crown jewel was to always get me to not deal with the Evolve people. So, you know, I always have my eye on shit. And you know, he runs this page, this Bad Wrestlers Exposed page, and he runs his other fucking things. So I'm always watching. And so it just happens that Anthony Chobot kid, you know, this guy's like a long-time New York indie fan.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? And he's at every show. And I mean, obviously, he's, you know, mentally handicapped. He's not, you know, he's certainly not your average guy. And he's really nice, though. And, like, you know, I understand, dude, people are going to bust balls on him or whatever. But, like, I thought it was over the top when this guy's, like, fucking tagging people. And, like, it's not even like if you're saying it in person. Like, maybe the kid could even tell. Like, he's smart enough, the kid. Like, if you're breaking his balls, he knows it. And I just felt like they were really, like, working him over, like, trying to... And I'm saying, this is me giving the fairest. Like, I'm trying to make it sound like the guy isn't a total scumbag, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, maybe he's busting his balls or whatever. But, like, dude, when you're tagging people and you're saying, and you're saying, you know, you're going to be the tag champion. Oh, I'll book you, and I'm going to get you booked. And, like, dude, you're talking about a guy, Dennis Long is the biggest fucking mark in his company. This guy only books Matt Riddle and you know, these type of wrestlers, these super, you know, elite, you know, great athletes that are big money and you know, like, people mark out for, like, himself. And that's the kind of guy he puts in his federation. He's not going to put some untrained wrestler ever. He's not volunteering any help. He's just fucking with him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it really, it pissed me off. And I was like, yo, this is the kind of scumbag that this guy's running a show. This is what he does. This is the guy's picking on disabled people. Like, who the fuck would ever support him? And not only that, he's a maniac, which I try to tell people. And I was like, well, here's just another example of why somebody like this doesn't belong in wrestling. Because it's just overall, does it sound like the guy has any kind of good intentions?
No, you know, not, I mean, at all. Not at all.
Like, and I understand from other people, like, somebody posted in that post, like, it was one of my friends, and they're like, oh, promoter wars. And I'm like, listen, dude, like, I'm a promoter, but, like, I don't give a shit who runs what. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
my thing's fine. It's been there 10 years. It's always going to be there. Like, it's there as long as I work at it, you know? And I don't care who runs shows or who has bigger shows or what. It doesn't matter to me. I do my own thing. That's the same thing in wrestling, you know? It's like, I live up to, you know, like, like, what am I doing? I'm not, what am I going to go fucking assassinate Jake the Snake Roberts because he's a better wrestler than me? You know what I mean? Like, do I care?
I
gotcha. Like, so I just, I have nothing, like, there's no reason other than the fact that I just want to shine the light on somebody being a scumbag. Like, the dude really doesn't belong. And nobody with that kind of attitude belongs, you know? And I know you saw it, and obviously it had an effect on you. And you know, that was the point. It's just like, you know, people can't get away with shit like that, especially on Facebook. Because then it's like I said, if you're in a room doing it, like, it ends there. On Facebook, it's fucking, the whole world can join it.
Forever.
Especially when you're tagging and recruiting people.
Yep,
and guys, it's not going anywhere. Actively recruiting people into the conversation.
Wow.
And then I had the balls after for days to write on other people's posts, careful, or Earl Cooter will fucking Facebook police you.
Wow.
And then, you know, by the way, after he said he was going to show up and fight me, he never did. I was disappointed, obviously.
Thank you for that. I appreciate you getting in depth. I really, I wanted to hear it because, you know, I got to the point where somebody sent that to me, and I'm like, what? Wow, that's interesting. I'm like, that's really interesting. And then you started commenting, and I was like, yeah, I want to talk to this guy. I'm like, this is a good guy. This is a guy that, like, understands that wrestling is one thing, but, like, people are another. And I think that sometimes, like, I'm not a wrestler, but sometimes people get lost in, you know, the business, and, oh, they don't want to piss people off because they want to make money. And to hear you do that, to me, meant that you were a man that had principles, and that meant a lot. You know?
Well, I appreciate that. And I, like I said, I don't give a fuck, dude. Like, I'll never let anybody bully anybody, man. Like, for real. Like I said, there's a thing of joking around and saying shit, and, like, you know, there's lines you can cross even a little bit, and nobody's going to get hurt. But that's, like, it's just, you're a fucking wacko. Like, you're going to go after a fucking guy like that? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And, you know, that whole crew, dude, like, you know, man, I'm just saying, like, that fucking Joel Bellini and all those guys, they're just the fucking bottom of the barrel, dude. Like, it's just like, what is wrong with you people? And then they hide behind this facade of pro wrestling, and it's like, bro, you're not a pro wrestler. Like, you know, just because you put on fucking tights and you jump around in your own company, like, doesn't make you a fucking pro wrestler. Like, you're a guy who's, you're a promoter who's trying to play wrestler, you know?
Absolutely.
And just because just because you run a fed doesn't make you a promoter either. You know what I mean? Like, a real wrestling promoter knows the business, you know, and that's the problem, is there's so many of these companies that they don't know shit. They're just fans. They watch WWE. Their fucking money because their fucking parents left it to them or whatever, you know, or fucking school bus ran over their foot, and then they want to rub elbows with their favorite wrestlers every fucking day, and be like, I'm one of the boys, I fucking take bumps, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's not how it is, you know. It's a lifestyle, bro.
Absolutely. So let me ask you, for people that have never seen you perform, what makes you unique? What makes you special? What makes you stand out to you?
Well, I mean, I think when properly motivated and given the proper for him. I honestly believe I'm in that upper echelon of elite athletes, and I can do some pretty incredible things as far as, you know, some wild moves and some big bumps. And, you know, I think I just have a good, I think, like, where I stand out is if you give me, maybe not evidenced by this phone call, but if you give me a microphone, I'm really good on the mic. I got a lot of charisma. And I think, like I said, I think it's a balance of, like, I think for me what makes me stand out is just being a strong balance of all these things. Like, you know, I have a lot of charisma, I got a good look, and I can do some good stuff. I think a lot of the times, I spent a lot of matches wrestling up-and-coming, you know, students and a lot of these guys, so I think you don't always get to see that from me, but when I'm in there with elite people, I usually deliver, you know?
Absolutely.
And I think people can see that, like, I do things that might surprise them.
All right, man, is there anything else that you want to say about FTW, any shows coming up, anything else that you're working on, things like that?
FTW's got December 9th over at the Elm Course Center. There'll be more info on that. But what I always really want to say, man, is, like, pro wrestling's awesome, and it's awesome to be a part of, and it's easier than a lot of people think if you go the right direction. You know what I mean? Like, I can't say how many times, like, I say to, like, students, like, I wish I had someone like me when I was getting into this, because, like, you know, even the old guy that helped me, he wasn't that established on his own in wrestling. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He wasn't able to just, I mean, he had a couple places he could bring me to, but he wasn't, like, he didn't have the knowledge I have, and he just didn't understand the business the same way. It's like these kids come through the schools and they get all these connections and they get to be a part of so much stuff and they get all this good training and, like, you know, I mean, like, when we started working with WWN and then WWN started working with WWE, there's like a almost a pipeline right to the top for all these, and, like, these guys get to be seen, like, almost instantly by all the WWN stuff, and then they get to go even further if they're able. So it's like, I wish, you know, like I tell them, I wish I had this pipeline when I was younger, but it's good for them, you know, like, so I think the schools are, it's easier to be involved on a great level of pro wrestling than people think. And I always encourage everyone to check out, you know, the schools. And plus, what other place has four wrestling schools? Like, if you live in the New York area, there's three in three different places. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So it's easy to get to. Like, if you live in the boroughs, you go to the one in Queens. If you live in Nassau County, you go to the school in Nassau County. If you live in Suffolk County, you go to the one in Suffolk. So that's Long Island, New York City, like three convenient spots. And then in Florida, it's right outside of Tampa. So that's like, there's a whole, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's four places to choose from. I mean, I don't think there's anybody else in the world that has four of them.